Reading today for me a lot about one's identity. I have two different rings on my fingers. On my right hand is a ring that my incredible wife Sally gave to me when I was ordained to be a deacon. And you've seen it, it's a silver ring with a cross on it with a skull. That's the deacon, the symbol of a deacon. So it's one of my identities. And I'm reminded when I look down a lot to see that. On the other hand, the other ring that seemed to be getting heavier as the years go by. Now, I knew you were going to do that because it doesn't mean the relationship of my marriage is getting heavier. It means this ring now represents my marriage to Sal. I am now a grandfather of 10 children, including 9 granddaughters. And then I'm also now a great-grandfather. So the ring got a lot of people on it, hanging on her, and being Father's Day, Dad, thank God it's a day set aside to fathers, and I wish you the best and greatest today, and hopefully you have great cards and some great food, or if you got one of those strange breakfasts sometimes we get when the kids want to serve us, you know. But so the ring is kind of like my identity, and they're on my hands, and so I'm reminded of who I am and some of my position. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, and oftentimes when someone says to you, and when you meet them and they say the question, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me about yourself. I don't know you very well. I'd just like to hear some things. And so, almost without cue, we begin to answer the question. And depending on the situation, sometimes we identify ourselves by our position or our employment, where we work. You know, you'll hear me saying now, what do you do for a living, Doug? Well, I work for the University of Toledo. And all of a sudden you start thinking university and you know that place. But I identify myself with it, hopefully for not a whole lot longer, if I can get to retire, so I can be like Father Tom here and be retired. I'm looking forward to that. Sometimes we identify ourselves by our educational background or in some cases, our credentials. My mom had a wonderful credential. And that's when I would say to her, Mom, why do I have to do that? And her famous line was, with her credentials, don't ask because I'm your mother. And, you know, you did. And sometimes we identify ourselves to our talent, to our gift, our relationship status, sometimes our gender. Paul shared with us today as believers that there is a commonality we share with each other in this sanctuary today and with lots and lots of other people in the world. He writes in the third chapter of Galatians, and in the last part of Galatians, you heard that list. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male, female, you know, he goes down to the left. But before it, he writes this, and he says, through faith, you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. For all of you, notice that, all of you, who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Sometimes our identity can get us into trouble when we try to use them for our advantage or for our personal gain. Paul, who was a defender of the Gentile Christians, that was his mission. Thank God, because I would be considered a Gentile. And he spent a fair amount of time and wrote about dealing, especially with Peter. If you've read the scriptures, you'll see this every now and then. And if you've looked at the scriptures, you'll find that even Peter at times, fell into the trappings of his Jewishness. And he would fall back, and he would, you know, you understand, they didn't have Christianity then, and he trying to figure out where he is, and Paul would remind him about who he was as a child of God. And Paul reminded him that those of us called Gentiles had the same benefit as he did, and that we were not lower than him. And Peter finally woke up to that. So as believers, we share a commonality known as the body of Christ. So today we are gathered in this sanctuary as the body of Christ, its fellow believers. It's important. And the Mass even has moments built into it where we're given the opportunity to respond as the body of Christ. So let's see how you do with this little quiz. For example, if Father or I say to you, the Lord be with you, you say what? That is the body of Christ responding back. to that statement, the Lord be with you. And then as a body, you say, well, we also want him to be with you. Another time we recite is the reciting of the creed. That is a body thing, where we all stand, see each other, and we recite the creed. And what we're saying in this sanctuary, we believe. And we recite the creed, and that's our belief in what we stand on. Another time we respond, here he goes, if you get this one, when the statement is said, this one, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. There you go. So, Father, who starts the prayer, let us give thanks, and then you turn, and all of us turn around and respond, you know, that's the right and just thing to do, because we're here in thanksgiving. Another great time in the Mass, when we respond as the body of Christ, is when he is elevated, the body and blood, and we sing the great amen. You know, and it's like saying, yes, we believe, that's right, that's true, we're here, we're gathered together as family, as children of God, as the family of God, and we sing the great amen. So even in the Mass, we're reminded that we're a body, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is our common identity, and we are encouraged at all times to do three things. One, to help and to generate and promote unity within us. We are called as believers at all times to be working for unity. So sometimes we need to ask, is what I'm about to do, is that going to bring unity to the body or will it bring discord? And we are called and challenged sometimes to help maintain that unity within the body. You know, if you look at the history of research in general, there were times when it was really segregated. And if you remember in history, there were times if you came to church, depending on your social status and your wealth, determined where you sat. And if you were rich and part of the local government, you sat where? You sat in the front. And if you were a commoner, you know, and just a common person, you didn't get to sit, you stood in the back. And I thought to myself, where would I be? I'd probably be like out in the parking lot if I would have been in that church back then. But, you know, there's that identity. And so, thank God the church now, we don't do that anymore. Aren't you glad when you come up to receive the body and blood that I don't lean over and go, can I see your union card, please? You know, one of us says, oh, by the way, have you been good this week? Have you prayed at your meals? And we don't ask. You know, we don't need to, because that, as far as God is concerned, when we come to his table, it doesn't matter what you do, who you are, as long as you're a member of the body of Christ, you're welcome to receive his blood and body. And that's a wonderful thing. So we are so blessed. As a parish, we're incredibly blessed to witness the diversity of different ages, cultures. When it comes to the different features of the Mass, the reading of the word, some of our lectionaries, and when you get to know their histories, and they're here standing, it's nothing short of a miracle they're here proclaiming. There are some that have a great difficulty getting up here. There are some that have some stories and life encounters that are just amazing. It's incredible what they go through, but yet they come and they read and they proclaim. And it's amazing when we see that. We have our young people are busy in Mass, and you wonder where. You need to come to a 5:30 Mass once. If you haven't been to one, please come, because you're going to see the youth doing all the different things in the Mass, even surprise you by standing at the back door and welcome you to the sanctuary when you come in. So all ages, all cult involved. That's a wonderful thing about the body of Christ. We are blessed. That's why I don't find it very difficult to understand why Jesus asked the disciples the questions he did in the gospel today. First he asked, who do the crowd say I am? What are they saying out there? And you heard it. So, well, some think you're Elijah, some think you're John the Baptist, some think you're some prophet that arisen. And then he turned to them, and today he asked you the same question. Who do you think or say that I am? He needed the disciples to begin to realize what their identity was going to become. For there were still some major events to happen, the crucifixion and other things. And that's why he said, just be quiet right now and trust me, time will come, you understand what's going on here. And he asked them, who do you say? And Peter responds, and it's appropriate. So we need to learn what our identity with him is to be, each and every one of us. For others to learn about the Lord, for those that need to hear about his goodness and be blessed, They learn about the Lord through how you answer that question. Who is Jesus to you today? The relationship that you have and who you say he is, that's how people come to understand, or that's the vision that they find out about Jesus. He needs to become our whole identity. When you allow God to take control of your life, it doesn't get boring, it doesn't get doing things you can't do, but when you allow him to take control, it becomes very dramatic and changed. And why? Because we're covered in Christ. We're covered in Christ when we're baptized. We're doing 4 baptisms at different times this weekend. 4 new family members coming into the body. What a celebration that we have. And part of the rite, that white gown, that white bib is put over them, representing that they're now a believer. So we're adding more to the family every time there's a baptism. So he needs to become our whole identity since we're covered in him. We need to let him do a couple of things. One, to let him continue to cover us in him. We need to be defined through him. And most of all, on a daily basis, we need to continue to be transformed by him. And every time you have an encounter with him, the opportunity is there for change. We all have uniqueness and we all have gifts. What do I do with that if we're just the body of Christ and being uniqueness? What we are to do is to take our gifts and our talents and our uniqueness and use them when we serve the body of Christ. And in the midst of doing those things, our uniqueness and gifts, when we work within the body of Christ and allow God to use us, can enable us to serve the body of Christ. That is, serve the body of Christ for his honor and his glory.